Isn't it a beautiful day today? You know, some of our advertising says Park of the Palms, where summer spends the winter. That's what I thought about today when I saw this beautiful day and how thankful we can be on this Thanksgiving weekend and any weekend for the kindnesses that come from a God of love who gives us his only begotten Son and freely with him also freely gives us all things. I know at home so often I feel the need of a song, and sometimes I'll break out and sing it myself if I don't disturb my wife too badly. Otherwise, I'll go over and turn on a tape or something, and it just brightens up the day. So how thankful we should be for those whom God has gifted that can help us and minister to us in this way. We're so delighted to have the Dixons with us, Hurley and Virginia. And they're going to be leaving tomorrow, I understand, after the morning service. They are working people and have to get back to things at home. We so much appreciate their spending the time with us this weekend in our conference.
America, the bone, for this is my the night with the light from above. To the mountain, to the prairie, to the ocean, why with more? Put in a little patriotic music tonight, because with no doubt about it, with respect of any that may be with us tonight from other lands, we live in a wonderful country, America. And we're in a season of the year, and certainly our Thanksgiving season, we should give special thanks to God for our country. I love to sing patriotic music because it touches my heart, and I'm sure it does yours. But not just to live in this country, but also to have had the opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the opportunity to receive Him and to be gloriously saved and acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that everyone here tonight has had that experience. If not, it could happen to you tonight. You listen as we continue in song now. The next song has to do with the Christian's experience speaking with the Lord. A lot of times we tell one another our troubles, and that's not too bad, because we can bear one another's burdens, the scripture says, so fulfilling the law of Christ. But the best is to speak with the Lord about our problems. You listen to this song, I Ask the Lord. Chambers, the late Mr. Lawrence Chambers, L.W. Chambers. I had the privilege of knowing as a young Christian. He came our way several times preaching on the tabernacle in the wilderness with the model tabernacle. Some of you may not know, but Mr. Lawrence Taylor would sing solos. Now, some of you may know that, but I have already found out some of you did not know that. This next song was one of his favorites, and I just wanted to do it tonight because I like it particularly, and I thought I'd share that little story with you about Mr. Chambers. The name of the song is "The Story of Jesus Can Never Grow Old."
They tell me the story of Jesus is old, and they wish that we'd preach something new. They say that the babe and the man of the cross for the wise of this world will not do. It can never grow old. It can never grow old. Though a million times over the story is told, while sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never For what can we tell to the weary of heart if we preach not salvation from sin? And how can we comfort the souls that depart if we tell not how Christ rose again? It can never grow. It can never grow old. Though a million times over the story is told, while sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never.
Oh, what a figure is mine.
yet he was rejected, despised of men. But I know fault in him. They led Christ to Calvary, but he never said one word. Just the cry of lost sinners was all the Savior heard. And then they pierced him in his side, and his blood came streaming down, and that's how he purchased my salvation. And I cry no fault in him. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. And that's how he purchased my salvation.
It was mentioned earlier about my wife and I having to leave back in last March, I believe it was. We were here, and it was to take part in the funeral of our dear brother, Mr. Jim Redley, who the Lord called home. And I had promised him some time ago that if he went before I did, that I would take part and sing some songs that he wanted at his funeral. Little did I know at the at that time that he would be going so soon. But Jim and Margaret and Tina were with us at Ocracoke Island in August of that fall that he took sick. He was complaining of severe headaches while he was with us, and he was trying to do a little surf fishing, and regardless of what he took for pain, it didn't seem to ease up, and it was to our shock and amazement, just a few weeks later, we learned that he had the terrible cancer in the brain. And many of you know of the situation. It went on for many, many months as he dwindled away, and then the Lord called him home. It was a very touching memorial service. The Lord was certainly honored there. Mr. Welcome Detweiler had the major part of the funeral, and I've been knowing Mr. Detweiler for over 35 years. It's the first time I saw him have to stop and shed tears. He and Jim were very close, as they had worked together for many years in the gospel. So it was a very touching time, and yet a time of praise. I'd like to sing this time one of the songs that was sung at his funeral. And it was certainly for the benefit, not only to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, but for any that may have been there that were not saved. And I do not know who is here tonight that may not be saved. So I would say to you, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you listen to the words of this song in particular. The title of it is Without Him.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without him, how lost you will be.
by special request tonight. That old favorite with so many, one of mine too, Ship Ahoy.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a sailing old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. Now I'm happy to say, for my sins washed away, in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, from my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul sinking down, need sin's merciless way. The strong arm of our captain is mighty to stay. Then trust him today, no longer delay, for that old ship of Zion and the shallowed your way.
He does. He certainly does. I don't know where I shared with you a personal experience in my wife and I's life, but if you've heard it before, then you'll excuse me, but there are things that do come in Christians' lives, and a lot of times we don't have the answers, but we accept them because we belong to the Lord, and we know the Lord makes no mistakes. We know that. And they prove in the end, whether we find out now or later, that they were in God's providence, and these things happened for our good. In 1969, our next to youngest child, at that time was 11 years old, and just before school let out in 1969, he ran in some of the races at school. He came home complaining about his leg hurting, and I said, "Well, son, you've probably overworked those muscles a little bit," and we let it go at that. But every time he would go to bed, he would even cry sometimes. He said his leg was hurting so bad. And, of course, we got a little alarmed then. The school was already out. This was in about the middle of June, and my wife's mother was a nurse and is a nurse. She was a nurse for a bone surgeon, and she said, "Bring him down and let me x-ray." And I was out on the job working, and when I got the call to come down to the office, I knew then that something was wrong. And she could see by the x-ray that it wasn't good, although she wouldn't tell us anything until the doctor came and took us aside and gave us the terrible news. He said our son had a massive sarcoma tumor of the bone in the back of the left knee. And that was what was giving him all the problem. He had no idea where it came from, but he said it was growing very, very rapidly, and All he could do at that time, this was 1969, was to amputate the leg, take off as much of the leg as possible, and hope and pray that it would take care of all the cancer. And it was a real tough time to go to that 12-year-old boy and tell him that we're going to have to take his leg off. It was really tough. But the Lord gave us help. And he received it and accepted it as much as you could expect a 12-year-old. So after the leg was taken off, this would have been in June, then there was a prosthesis made where he could learn to walk on a prosthesis. And then, of course, there was monthly x-rays taken of his lungs. And the doctor said, if we can get through 6 months and everything looks good, he'll have a chance. And so that's what we went on. But almost to the day, when the 6 months was up, then an x-ray showed he had cancer had reoccurred in both lungs, and one lung was really in bad shape. So then we were confronted with another situation. So I said to the doctor, what should we do? He said, well, you can take him to Duke Hospital, and it's one of our better hospitals in our country. And he said, they will try all types of treatment, and it'll be very painful. He'll be very, very sick. And but he said, I'm telling you, as of today, he said, there's nothing we can do for him. So I said, well, Doc, you have four boys. What would you do? He said, well, I think I would keep him home and make him as comfortable as possible, take him wherever he would like to go, and make life as comfortable as possible for him and enjoy the family. And so that's what we did. We came to Florida. We went down the East Coast, came up the West Coast. We had a lovely time together. And, of course, it was getting on into Christmas time then. And then we buried his body in April. And it was quite an experience for us, having the neighbors to come in. And I know there's some folk here tonight that have had these situations to come in. And I have unsaved loved ones, you know, and they came in, and they didn't understand. They wanted to know what he had done that he would be cursed with cancer. And I said, well, he hasn't done anything. I said, it's just the fact that he's just another one of those victims. But I said, he's saved. He was saved at camp 2 years prior to that, had a good testimony. Matter of fact, he said the last day we carried on a conversation in his bedroom, he said, Daddy, Jesus is with me. He's with me right now. I said, I wish Madeline Mary O'Hara was here today, standing here listening to this testimony. So we said goodbye to him. He never went in a coma or anything. He just weakened down till we talked to him, till he couldn't answer, and then the Lord took him. And that's been 17 years. 17 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has been.